good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this Thursday night, December 29th, 2016. Hey, the year is almost over, the calendar year anyway, and that's kind of what we go by these days. We understand the biblical year was a solar year for sure, and it starts in March, about the 20th, and we understand that, but, you know, we do, I think just about everybody has a calendar up on the wall or on their phone, and hey, we've got a couple more days here in December, and the calendar that we go by will roll to 2017. Can you believe it, folks? Can you believe that 2016 is, at least the calendar year is almost over? It's hard for me to believe sometimes, but it is. Time marches on. You know, it says time waits for no man, and that's true. It doesn't. Thank God we serve the God of time, the God that created time. And so we will just continue marching on and loving Him, serving Him, reading His Word, and encouraging you to do the same. So we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later tonight, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to call in. And got a little, some scriptures I'd like to share with you tonight. So much going on in the world, I thought, you know, we just, I think we do better when we stick with the Word. It sure increases my faith when I read and hear the Word, because that's what the Bible says. That's how our faith is increased, and that's how we get our faith. And so I hope that'll work for you as well tonight. But let's start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Lord, we come to you thankful, Lord. Let us always be thankful. Let us praise you, Lord, in the morning, in the evening, at noontime, and at night. And Lord, we do. I praise you, Lord. I thank you. You who bring the stars out at night, Lord, and who will bring the sun up in the morning. Lord, you who give us breath, who give us thought, Lord, who have called us out of the dominion of darkness. I thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me of my sins, known and unknown. And Lord, as we gather around here, around the radio or the computer, Lord, or the Radio Ranch microphone and broadcast booth here, Lord, let our every thought be pleasing to you, Lord. And let our words and our deeds and the things that we do, Lord, let them put a smile on your face. For, Lord, we know when we do that, that it sure benefits us, that it sure blesses us, Lord, when the things that we do bless you and are pleasing to you. So direct our thoughts, Lord, direct my thoughts, my words, that, Lord, we would just have a good time of fellowship, of praise and worship to you, and that, Lord, the scriptures we read tonight would be the words you have for us. So speak to us, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, come and be here with me and guide and direct me through the scriptures and through speaking to the remnant. That, Lord, it would be your words and it would be what you want put out. Oh, Father, I thank you that you blessed our pastor for so many years, Lord. You encouraged him and strengthened him and Lord, assisted him in building this ministry, Lord, and laying that foundation true and square, that foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ. And Lord, he built the ministry up from there. And Father, I thank you that you have deemed us worthy, that you've seen fit, Lord, for us to continue that building, to continue that building up and growing of this ministry, Lord, to your glory, not to ours. Lord, to get the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the true word, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the full Testament, all of your word, Lord, out to your remnant and out to the people, Lord. We know, Lord, as the truth goes out, that your remnant that are out there, Lord, they hear it, and it, Lord, it finds fertile ground, these seeds of your truth. It finds fertile ground in the remnant. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Let this broadcast tonight, Lord, and all that we do here at Scriptures for America Ministry, Lord, let it glorify you and get your gospel out to your remnant and to the world. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And amen. Well, winter is here. Just about everywhere I've talked to, from Montana to Georgia, winter is upon us. We have got some super winds out here, serious winds, been blowing tractor trailers off the road, and but that's the way it goes. That's wintertime. Out here, it's a winter breeze. They call these winds back east and down south a hurricane, about the same mile per hour, but that's just how it goes. We're wrapping things up here. Got some new things we'll be announcing, I think, as the new year rolls out. Some new things we're trying to do at the church and with the broadcast and whatnot. So we appreciate and greatly appreciate your prayers. If you would just keep what we do here at Scriptures for America in your prayers. Still broadcasting out on the shortwave and on the internet and audio satellite 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. By now, folks, if you're on our Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list, you should have gotten the 2017 Bible reading plan. And hopefully you've gotten that. And you've got a couple more days. You can start on that on Sunday, I believe, is when that starts. Yeah, January 1st. Hopefully you'll join us at church on Sunday, and we'll see if we can get that kicked off with you. As we're wrapping up the Bible reading plan this year, and you know we've spent the year when I've had the opportunity to speak with you, whether it's been on the from church or from here at the Radio Ranch or on the phone, and we've been encouraging you to read your Bible. And you know we've only got Zechariah and Malachi in the Old Testament, and we're in Revelation 20 in the New Testament, and as I've read through the Bible this year, it has sure jumped out at me just how relevant the things that were happening then. Here in Zechariah, 700 years before the time of Christ, how relevant they are to today, over 2,000 years after Christ walked the earth. And when we go back and read, we see how we are to be today, how maybe we were in the past, how our ancestors, I guess that's a word, those that came before us, how they were. And, you know, sometimes they give us good examples, and sometimes when we read, we see some things that happened that we would be better to steer clear of. And sometimes we read things that, well, that warn us of what's coming. And that's what Zechariah is. You know, Zechariah, got a couple scriptures out of here, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. But it's a book of prophecy, of course. And, you know, it's about 500 years B.C., not quite 700, but about 500 years. And there's several prophecies through here about Jesus coming, the coming Messiah, the final battle of Jerusalem, and those type things. And it's just kind of neat that when you see this close to the time of Christ, the prophecies that Zechariah made, very specific prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus. Well, we see the prophecies he made about Christ were fulfilled when Christ walked the earth. Well, then that lets us know that the other prophecies that he made about the end times, the end time predictions and things like that, that they're going to be true as well. And I think we see some of those things coming and happening now. We're in Zechariah 9 through 12 for the Bible reading plan, but I just, going through the book, I had a couple scriptures I wanted to share with you tonight. And one starts right at the beginning of Zechariah 1, verse 3. And it says something here that is said almost 20 times throughout the scriptures, okay? Throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And I guess you could call it a commandment. But I think it's more of a, I don't think the word pleading fits, but it's a directive from God to me and to you. How about that? About 18, maybe I think 19 times in the Old Testament. And here it is in Zechariah 1. This is almost the last of the writings, Zechariah and Malachi. And, you know, you kind of got to get that read by this weekend to stay caught up. And so Here in Zechariah 1, verse 3, it says, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me. Return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you." Now that should sound familiar. We hear something similar to that. Draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to you. And you know, reading the Bible is one of the ways that we do that. And so I ask you, Remnant, and this is just between you and God, do you want to draw nearer to God? Do you want to be more led by the Holy Spirit? Do you want to have more peace in your life than you have now? Do you want to have more comfort in your life than you have now? Do you want to have more biblical understanding than you do now? Well, he tells us how, and it's return to me, that I may return to you. And it really is that simple. It is. Return to me. And I thought that's what we talk about. You know, the time of New Year's resolutions is fast approaching. And so why not? Why not look at this and if we will just do what he tells us to do, because he tells us right here how to do that. He does. If you look over in Zechariah, if you're there, you flip over to Zechariah 8. And the subheading there is the coming peace and prosperity of Zion. Well, you know, it may not be the whole nation, but there can be peace and prosperity in the kingdom that you can have in your life. How? Draw nearer to God. Return to me, he says. You know, we read that in Samuel, we read it in Kings and Chronicles, in Nehemiah, in Isaiah. Return to me. In Zechariah 8, verse 9, the first part of verse 9 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. You who are listening in these days to these words from the mouth of the prophets." And I repeat that out. I read that to you to increase your faith. Let your hands be strong. You can be strong in the Lord, you believers, repentant believers, repentant obedient believers. Believers, repentant, obedient, baptized believers, let your hands be strong as you're listening in these days to these words from the mouth of the prophets. And then down in Zechariah 8, the second part of verse 15, Let's pick it up with verse 14, because it shows a shift. You know, at this time, the children of Israel are dispersed. They're out. They're gone. These are the words to the prophecies to, you know, the remaining remnant. And it's to us today. Verse 14, Zechariah 8, verse 14. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I purposed to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I have not relented, so I have again purposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem, and to the house of Judah. Do not fear." And so here's a couple of commandments that we have to remember, Remnant. Let your hands be strong, you who are listening to these words, and do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear what ISIS can do. Do not fear what the IRS thinks they can do. Do not fear any of the three-letter agencies that think they rule over us today. Do not fear what the man down the road thinks he can do to you. Do not fear what they say about you. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. We read on verse 16. These are the things which you should do. He's told us, return to me. so that I may return to you. How? How do we return? Well, he tells you still right here in Zechariah. Zechariah 8, verse 16. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Speak the truth to one another. Now, you know, we don't always do that, do we? I can tell you, I'm guilty of that sin. I'll repent. Lord, forgive me. I have not always spoken the truth to others. Forgive me, Lord, when I have failed in that. And you know, God is righteous. When we confess our sins to Him, He's righteous to forgive us. And so, if you find that you have not spoken the truth to one another, you can do that very thing. You can confess your sin, and you can be forgiven of it. And then you can go on and be strengthened, and you can then not fear, and then your hands can be strong, and you can, and that's part of returning to Him. That's part of making our obedience complete. It's when we read His word and we believe it, of course, but then when we see that He says, these are the things which you should do, well, guess what? These are the things we should be doing as doers of the word and not hearers only. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Because there's a few more things He tells us here to do. These are the things which you should do, remnant, as 2016 is coming to an end. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. So when you do judge, judge with truth and judgment for peace. See, there's that truth again. And you know, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we find that in His word. We do. That's where it is. So judge with truth. You know, don't be a respecter of persons, because God isn't. Let the truth be truth. And when we have to judge, when we have to decide whether it's hiring an employee or whether it's just whatever it may be, we are to judge with truth and judgment for peace. And if we'll do that, we will have peace in our gates, in our homes, in our churches. Doesn't mean all the time. Doesn't mean that life is just perfect and rosy. No, but we're to be strong. We're to let our hands be strong. We're not to fear. We're to judge with truth. And how do we get that? We get it from the Word. We judge according to the Word. What else? Also, it says, verse 17. See, there's a little more. Speak the truth to one another. Judge in truth. And also, let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. Do not devise evil in your heart against another. You know, if someone has wronged you and they're of the brethren, just forgive them. Just take the wrong. Christ did. It's not that hard to do. Oh, it seems like it is, but it's really not. When we remember that our Lord and Savior took the wrongs that were done to Him, He didn't devise evil in His heart against those. He said, Lord, forgive them. When those that had sinned came upon Him, and go and sin no more was His response. We should remember those things, because there's times that we find in our heart of hearts, oh, that we want to trust so much. There's times that we find that we should not trust it because we're devising evil against one another. And if we do, we need to repent and not do it. And it goes on, it says, and do not love perjury. Do not love perjury. And that's the false oath. Again, there's lies. So what's the common theme here? Love your neighbor. Love truth. Speak truth. Do not love perjury, for all these are what I hate, declares the Lord. Spoke with a brother today, and he Well, the gist of the conversation was that some people just can't believe, it was actually a sister I spoke with, that God hates. But see, those people don't read the Word. Those people don't worship the God, the Lord God of the Bible. Because right here he says, those are the things that I hate. So folks, as we wrap up this year of 2016 and we get into 2017, let's do our best to not do the things that God hates. And if we can do that, we will be doing well. We will be making our obedience more complete. And when our obedience is complete, the disobedience will be punished. And that's a good thing. A little bit later in Zechariah 8, let us go at once. This is verse 21. Let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will also go. See, that's the way it's going to be. That's even the other peoples are going to come when you read the surrounding story there. And they're going to say, let's go and treat the faith. Let's go bless the Lord. Let's go bless him. Let's go seek him. We'll all go. That's how it's going to be. That is how it's going to be. You know, we don't always get to do that, but that day is coming. That day is coming. And so, there's good news. Zechariah 13, verse 2 says, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. So, folks, I don't know if you've noticed it. We've talked about it. And since we've talked about it, since the election, it seems like there's a different spirit in the land. There seems like there's more of a spirit of God in the land, more of a spirit of God bless you that you hear out in public. More of a spirit of loving your neighbor as yourself. And his word says it, that he will remove the prophets and the unclean spirit. Well, guess what spirit comes in when the unclean spirit goes out? When the people no longer want to have the unclean spirit and the false prophets and the liars and the thieves. Well, when the people return to him, when you and I and the remnant return to him, sometimes in prayer and fasting, sometimes in just not doing the things he doesn't want us to do, and doing the things he tells us to do, like repenting and being baptized and reading his word and loving our neighbor. When we do, well, those unclean spirits, they leave. They leave. And then there's a new spirit in the land. And I've had people tell me that. I've had people just out of the blue bring it up and say, you know, things just feel different. Things feel better. And if you're reading your word, you can say, well, you know, Zechariah said that would happen. You can be on them. You can be on your friends. They'll think you're a Bible scholar. Zechariah 13 says that's going to happen. And Zechariah 14:1, behold, the day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. You remember our pastor used to talk about that teeter-totter transfer. And that would, he used that term like a seesaw, you know. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Well, you know, we've been down for a while in this nation. We have. But that teeter-totter transfer is coming. And Zechariah 14:1 says, behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. And see, God fights our battles. He is going to restore when our obedience is complete. And this is part of it, in doing these things. Return to me. Return to me. Then they shall return to me. Return to me, he says, on and on and on. In Joel 2:12, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. You know, we see it again in Malachi 3:7. Don't have time to read through that tonight. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But how shall we return, you say? You can read in Malachi. I encourage you to read in Malachi how to return. I have go to a little men's prayer breakfast. You've heard Ramrod. You've heard John talk about it. He does one down in Colorado on Wednesday mornings on men that don't go to our church. And I do the same up here. I go with our neighbor, Cowboy Paul, and we go to one here. And most of the men attend a couple churches in town. And we were talking about this Malachi 3:7 right there, returning to God. And we talked about this yesterday morning in a little bit as we were breaking up and a few of us were hanging around and talking. And it's return to me. How shall we return? Well, in Zechariah we read, do not fear. These are the things which you should do, right? Speak the truth, judge with truth, don't devise evil in your heart, don't love perjury, let your hand be strong. That's how he tells us. So we are to do those things. In Malachi, he goes a little further. Return to me. How do you return? Read verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Read Malachi 3. You see what you think about it. 500 years, about 450 B.C. is when Malachi was written. Malachi meaning my messenger. There's kind of a... Again, we see the same thing in Zechariah and in Malachi. Return to me, and I will return to you. Turn back to me, and I will turn unto you. And so, right here, just in this little Old Testament of Zechariah, 2,500 years ago, we see how today we can have more comfort. We can draw nearer to God. I don't know about you, but I have been drawing nearer to God these last couple months. I have. My wife has. We have together. And, there is a peace there. There is a comfort. Oh, the world's in turmoil. It's hitting the fan here, there, and everywhere. There's no doubt about that. Even with a feeling of a better spirit in the land. Even with, it looks like the economy's going to be on the upswing as this new President-elect Trump steps in. And, the future's looking brighter in the physical sense. But, we still have the storms. But, oh, that peace is there. We sent an urgent prayer request out, a brother in Michigan. His daughter died in a horrific car crash this morning. And his very young grandson, we sent the prayer chain out today as a second, an urgent prayer request to pray for this little 5-month-old, I think, who was having to have surgery today and was in ICU. And so here's this grandpa, Barry, grieving over his lost daughter and praying and asking the remnant for prayers for his grandson. And we sent that out today. And folks, if you don't get our prayer chain, if you have access to email, we'd love to send it to you. Our email here is preacher@sfaw.org. And send us an email. We'll put you on the prayer chain list. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray for Barry. Lord, I don't know him personally, but Lord, I know you do. And you share his grief, and you share his pain, you share his loss. Lord, we pray for that peace that surpasses understanding, Lord, that comes from you, that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes from your throne, Lord, to be down upon him there, Lord. I think they're in Michigan. I think the little boy, his grandson, Lord, be with him. I think he's there in Ann Arbor. Lord, send your angels to comfort this father and his loss, this grandfather. Lord, send your ministering angels, Lord, to be with this little boy and And Lord, let him recover. Let him recover, Lord. And guide and protect him in all the days of his life. Lord, you tell us to lift our petitions up to you. That's our request, Lord, our petition, our prayer, to be with that family, Lord, this very day. And comfort them, Lord, in this time of sorrow, this time of grief. Comfort them and be an ever-present help with them, Lord, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I cannot imagine the sorrow that's in that family. But I know it won't be forever. Because the Holy Spirit will come and will comfort that family. How do I know it? I've read it in the Word. I've experienced it. That's one of the reasons that we are to read the Word. It is because it's needed. If you flip over, not in my notes, I'll have to turn over there. But if you flip over to 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 1, or chapter 1, starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions. In all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. You know, folks, sometimes Christians have to suffer. Sometimes we suffer. The rain, the Bible says, it falls on the just and the unjust. The rain nor God are respecter of persons. But it says, just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Whew. That's a promise. That's a promise. And it's a promise that is true. It is. Return to me, he tells us. He has comfort. His yoke is light, he tells us. His yoke is light. You might think that, oh, I got the enemies of God against me. I got the IRS. I got these people, you know, coming after me and those people lying against me and the economy is bad and work is rough. He says, return to me. Return to me, he says. And I will return to you. And we can do that. We can do that. Nehemiah 1:9 says, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though you've been scattered to the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather you from here and bring them to a place where I've chosen to cause my name to dwell. If you return to me. If. If. Well, that's what we are to do. You know, many times we want to teach. We want to tell others what they should do. We want to point out how they've sinned and how they need to be doing this and they need to be doing that. You know, we a couple weeks ago we read that from Psalms 51:13. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted to thee. And you know, that's a hallelujah moment when it happens, when we can teach in love and in kindness and with a grain of salt in our speech to make it palatable to those that are receiving our words, right? We want to teach transgressors thy ways. But you know, and that's what we talked about a couple weeks ago, we just can't start there. David didn't start there. That's Psalms 51 verse 13. That's the end of the psalm. But there's a lot that has to happen before we are able to do that. And you know, part of it, Psalms 51:2, is wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. See, that has to happen. It says that again in verse 7. Purify me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And so, you know, there has to be that, before we can teach, there has to be that washing, that cleansing. Verse 8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Well, you know, the you can have more joy when you've realized you've gone through those times when there's not joy and gladness. When you do have pain and sorrow, but you turn to the Lord. And as we read in 2 Corinthians, that comfort of God is there for us. Well, then, as time goes on, we are able to get back to that joy and gladness. Verse 9 says, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. You know, folks, that should be part of your prayer. I encourage you to do that, to pray for a steadfast spirit. It says, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Pray that. You know, we've encouraged you to pray the Lord's Prayer every day, to pray on, to put on the full armor of God. And you know, as you do that, we encourage you also to pray to God. Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let me be steadfast for you, O Lord. Let me stay the course. Create in me a clean heart. Because you know, if you ask God for that, He'll do it. He'll do it. He does. He keeps His word. He tells us, ask. Don't cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. That's hard sometimes. Sustain me, Lord. Let me not falter. And if I falter, let me get back up. Then, after all that, then I will teach transgressors thy ways. How can you teach transgressors thy ways? Well, because we've been cleansed. We've come out of that. And then we're able to teach. We're able to. And you know, that doesn't mean you have to be in the pulpit. That doesn't mean that you have to have a teaching degree. No, it's when you're at the coffee shop, you're able to share the gospel. To be able to correct someone if they're wrong in their understanding of it. If they think that if they're in that belief only group, it says, well, I believe, and so I'm covered, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Well, you know, there's a little bit more to it than believe. You know, if you believe that frayed power cord will shock the stew out of you if you grab it, then you won't grab it. Your actions will follow your belief, right? Well, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you believe that He came of a virgin birth and walked on this earth for 33 years as a man and went to the cross and died for your sins and mine and then overcame death and came up out of that grave. If you believe that, well, believe what His word says. And then you will be saved. Because if you believe it, you'll obey it. And you'll be that doer of the word. And you'll do what you need to do. Well, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And that Zechariah just caught my eye today. I didn't get to read all of it. I've got a couple chapters to read to get caught up, to get it finished. So I'm hoping I can get that done tonight and tomorrow. You know, if you flip over to James, there it is, James 1, a couple verses here. We'll just start in James 1 because it's good to read this to remember who this is written to. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. And you know, we can still say that, to the tribes dispersed all over. from Alaska to Florida, and from Maine to Arizona, and all over the world. Greetings, because we are dispersed all over. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So think about that. So consider it a joy, my brethren, when your wife is rebellious and you got all kind of various trials coming upon you. Consider it a joy, my brethren, when people just lie about you and spread gossip that's not true. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you lose your job and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. Consider it all joy. Consider it all joy when you get those letters from the IRS or that report from the doctor. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Isn't that what it says? When you encounter various trials or temptations, is how another version puts it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, that's how we get endurance built up in our physical bodies. You don't get it from sitting in the chair typing on the keyboard. You won't even build up calluses that way. How do you get endurance? You got to get out there and work. You got to get out there and walk. You got to get out there and have and encounter those various trials and difficulties. That's part of the Christian walk. And it's how we respond to those that develops our character. And you know, sometimes we don't respond the way we'd like to. Well, we can repent, we can return, and do better next time. That's part of it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or steadfastness. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Because, you know, we get trials. We all do. I half the people that call into the ministry, they call in during the day, have trials. They want to know, what should I do? Pray for this. Can you pray for me? What should we do? This has come upon us. Persevere. Persevere. It's for your testing. It's for your testing. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. And in verse 5, James 1 verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. So if you want to return to God, if you want to draw closer to God, if you want to draw closer to the Son, Jesus Christ, if you want to have more of the Holy Spirit in your life, because maybe those things are lacking. You know, maybe you don't have your tongue controlled. Hopefully you read, and if you haven't, I encourage you, go back to last month's Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 8. Got an excellent article in there. Ramrod brought a two-part message on loose lips, sink ships, on controlling the tongue. And it's great message. It's in Volume 8 of the Dragon Slayer, the last Dragon Slayer out. We got Volume 1 of 07 cranking. Hopefully we'll get that printing first of the week. Get that out to you first of the year. But if you desire those things, if you want those things, Christian, do you want to grow in His grace and knowledge? Do you want to have a better answer the next time somebody comes to you with, well, I just believe and that's enough, that's what my pastor told me, or whatever it may be? Well, it says here, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. Ask. Draw nearer to Him. It doesn't have to be in sackcloth and ashes and praying. You know, when those trials hit sometimes, that's the way it is, though. We do sometimes have to, and that's just how it is. We read in the Bible that that's sometimes that, that's appropriate to draw near to Him in praying and fasting, crying out. Sometimes it's in, you know, hey, tell the truth, judge righteously, love your neighbors yourself. It may be draw near to Him. How? Well, read back in Malachi again. How? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's Malachi 3:10. That's one way. That's one way we can return to Him. That's one way we can get our obedience better. Better tomorrow, better next week than it was last week. See, that's better. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. So if you want those things, if you desire those things, ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. Because, you know, none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. None of us know what it's going to be like after this new president-elect gets sworn in. He may, you know, he may come up with the Super Patriot Act. Remember old Bush that came up with the Patriot Act? Before the Clinton years? Remember Bush had the Patriot Act? You never know. Now we're praying just the opposite. And we encourage you to pray. We're told to pray for our leaders. I think Jason brought it out a few weeks ago. And what a good feeling. What a different spirit in the land it is when we can pray for our leaders instead of against them. It's a different spirit in the land that we read about in Zechariah. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, revival in the land, that's not the president's responsibility. That's ours. That's yours and mine. It's the church's, the body's responsibility for revival. To preach the word in season and out of season. To see, and that's where all this really is driven. Is draw, he, God says, draw, return to me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Why? Well, so that you can tell others and have them draw nearer to Him and Him draw nearer to them. I think there's a revival coming. And I think that the people out there in these false Judeo-Christian churches are going to wake up. And then it's going to be, hey, what? They're going to be asking you folks in Maryland. And they're going to be asking you in Texas, what does this mean? What do I need to do? Explain baptism to me. How's it going to be if you show up to work one morning and no, it's not 48 hours there waiting on you, but you have 100 people with big eyes saying, what do we do? What do we do? We love Jesus. What do we do? We're lost. So we have to be ready for that. Because that's coming, folks. That's coming. I sense that it is. And we have to be ready. We have to draw near to Him today while it's still day, while there's still time. We have to return to Him in keeping His word, in reading His word, in being doers. Prove yourself, James 1:22. Prove yourselves doers. Not just in word, but prove it. Prove it. Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. This man will be blessed if we are an effectual doer. So I challenge you to be a doer. To make a, you don't have to call it a New Year's resolution, though, that goes back, the Greeks did this and the Scythians did that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to partake of some, you know, ancient rite to some false god. But I encourage you to do what God does, tells you to do. Listen to him. Answer his cry when he says, return to me. We read in Zechariah 8, you who are listening in these days to these words from the mouth of the prophets, and we've been reading about that, I challenge you. Make it a purpose to read your Bible every day in 2017. We've got a new Bible reading plan out. You've already got it in the mail. It's going to be on the website. And if you don't, you contact us here. We'll send you another one. Be glad to. Read your Bible. Draw nearer to God, and he will draw nearer to you. Return to him. You'll be blessed if you do, and it's needed. You are not needed by God, but desired by God. How about that? He doesn't need any of us, but he wants us. He wants us to have returned to him with all our heart, mind, and soul, so that we can, as we read in Corinthians, comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted with. And you know, I think you can fit in, you can substitute many things in there for that comfort. You know, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all blessings who blesses us, and God of all peace who gives us peace, and God of all comfort who comforts us, and God of all joy who gives us joy. See, I think we could put all of the words, the meaning of his blessings in there, and it fits. And it's because he wants us to share those blessings. Because somebody shared them with us. Somebody shared them with you. Wow, we're out of time. Hope the phone lines were, well, we didn't get any calls tonight, but that's all right. I wanted to get through that, and I got through it. So praise the Lord. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your prayers. We sure appreciate it here. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Our email, preacher, the Sunday morning guy, preacher at sfaw.org. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless all of those of you that are his, bless you and keep you, make his face and countenance shine upon you, be gracious to you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.